We are in the middle of a series called Connecting Dream to Destiny. Connecting Dream to Destiny. Last week I shared with you a little bit about my camping experience. We went out, hardcore, and drove out there to Chinyak and no tent. We were tent camping. And we forgot sleeping bag and many other things that we did not have. And we were cold in the middle of the night. Okay? I wanted to get into my truck and start up my truck and maybe drive home and leave everybody behind. No, but I did not. We've had many camping experiences. Many other camping experiences. It's like there's a life lesson there that God is trying to teach me, and I'm like, I'm missing it, Lord. I'm not getting it. What are you trying to tell me? The last camping, several years ago, we had another camping experience. This time was in Willow on mainland, okay? And it wasn't a cabin. There was no tents, just a cabin. We were out there all excited. We got into the cabin in the middle of the night, and there was this stench of a dead animal that's probably been dead for a long, long time. We were stuck in this cabin, smelling this dead animal. 6 o'clock in the morning, we got in the truck, and we drove home. Couldn't stand it anymore. So, mosquitoes in the middle of the night. God is trying to teach me something here about camping. I'm still not getting it. And I'm like, Lord, send me one more experience. Maybe I'll get it the next time. I don't know if it is like, this is not made for you, son. Do something else. I have no idea. God is not speaking loud enough for me to hear what he wants me to do about this camping thing. But I just want to share a little bit of this camping experience. Absolutely nothing to do with the message. Just want to share a little bit of my pain with you about my camping experience. God has a dream for your lives. It's called your calling. Your calling in life. And God has a destiny for your life. And it's called your purpose. The two are not connected, that we've established over the past few weeks. They're not connected. By default. They're not the same. By default. But they can be connected when God is in the middle of it. Only God can give you the dream or the calling. And only God can fulfill the destiny. And fulfill the purpose that he has for you. So he makes the connection for you. As he gives you the dream, he also gives you the destiny. And he bridges in that gap. He forges the two together in his fire. He forges those two together and gives meaning to your life. Why am I here in Kodiak? Have you ever asked yourself this question? What am I doing here? I could have been somewhere else. But when you connect with God, and with his fire that is igniting the dream, constantly stoking up this dream inside of you, stoking up this calling that you have on your life that sometimes doesn't make sense. But when the fire of God is stoking up this dream, it gets connected to the purpose, to the destiny. Life starts to make sense. You start to understand that there's a reason why I'm here in Kodiak. I'm not here by accident. I'm here on divine appointment by God. He brought me here. He connected me with this body. I have a purpose here. I can connect with my dream here. I can connect with my destiny here. We've been studying the life of Joseph. And just like Joseph, God needed a series of fire through different seasons in his life to connect the dream that he had as a 17-year-old kid, young man, connecting that dream that he had as 17-year-old to all the way to till he was 30 years old when he stood in front of Pharaoh, when he stepped into his destiny, his purpose, his divine purpose of why he was there, the reason why he had the dreams. So God's fire ignites the two and forges them together to give meaning, to give purpose. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. We get a little excited about the word here. So that's what you're hearing. If you're hearing it for the first time here, that's basically people getting excited about the word of God. So Genesis chapter 39, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Because of who you are and whose you are, the place where God has placed you in to serve, to work in any capacity, in any role, because you are there, that place succeeds. The favor of God goes along with you. His presence goes along wherever you go. Because you have the favor of God upon you when you're serving in the Coast Guard, when you are working on this engine, when you're flying somewhere, rescuing somebody that is drowning, because the presence of God is upon you, following you wherever you go, you have His favor. You have His presence. You have His anointing. You have His grace. You have His empowerment to do what you cannot do in your own human strength. What I just read just now is exactly what Joseph was experiencing. He was experiencing the supernatural presence of God that empowers him to serve in a household, believe it or not, in this household that he was serving in, they were pagans. They were idol worshippers. They did not even know God, but they recognized the presence of God upon the life of Joseph. The same is for you. You might be working in an environment that does not talk about Jesus, does not even bring up the name of Jesus. But because you are there, just because you show up to work, the presence of God is there with you. Everything that your hands will touch is guaranteed to prosper, to do well. And people around you will see it, will recognize it, just like Potiphar did. Recognize immediately that the favor of his God is upon Joseph. Promotion comes when people recognize what God is doing. God sets you up for that promotion. The promotion did not come because of Joseph's good name, his background, his intelligence, where he came from. He was a slave, yet he prospered. Can you imagine? He was a slave serving as a slave, yet he prospered. He prospered because he was faithful to the God whom he served. The environment did not dictate how Joseph felt about himself, about what he was doing. Him as a slave had no bearing upon the calling. The calling took the lead instead of the duty of mopping the floor, of taking care of the petty little things that, as a slave, this is what you do day in and day out. But they did not dictate the dream. They did not affect the dream. They did not affect the destiny. His allegiance was with God and God alone. So you might be serving in an environment that is vile, that rejects God, but just because you are there. Just because you show up, the presence of God is there with you. In the midst of a trial, when you are there, in the place where God, and you know God has called you there, and you're serving, you're not being recognized, and you're looking at the place where you are, and you're questioning the dream. You're questioning the calling. You said, God, there was something bigger that you called me for. And yet, I'm here mopping this floor. You might be in that situation. We start questioning whether or not you got that dream from God, or did you just fabricate that dream or made that up? Did you miss God on the calling? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Especially in time when there's a fire. There is situations that are not feeling good. You got the dream and goosebumps came. You got goosebumps when the dream came and you felt like it was from God. But now you're mopping a floor and you're questioning whether or not you heard God. I've been there before. I know many of you have been there before. When you're questioning where it came from, you're questioning God. I believe Joseph went through a series of those episodes when he started questioning. Where did I go wrong, Lord? What did I do? Where did I miss the mark? But one thing he knew for sure, though, the presence of God was there. The presence of God was there. And sometimes, that's all we need. Sometime in the midst of the fire, where we're not feeling that this is the right place. I just don't like this. It just doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right does not mean that the dream is missed. Could it be that the feeler is wrong? Could it be that you're feeling the wrong thing because you are not operating by faith? that is goes beyond your feeling, that goes beyond your sight, that goes beyond anything that you can express or verbalize in the natural sense. Because the spirit of faith must overtake everything that you're feeling. If you wait on the feeling to line up, you might be waiting for a long, long, long time and eventually miss the dream completely. Because if Joseph went by what he felt when he was thrown into the pit, rejected by his own flesh and blood, the way that he felt as a slave when he was lined up with seven other slaves in the marketplace, when Potiphar walked around and said, not this one, not this one, not this one, but this little skinny little dude right there, that little young guy, that's who I want. At that moment, he's like, I'm just a slave. I'm being sold as a slave. I'm being bought as a slave. I'm sure he questioned the calling, the dream, the purpose. Would that ever, ever come to pass? So your life might even reflect like Joseph. When you feel like you're never recognized for anything that you're doing that is right. Promotions are passing you by. Other people are getting recognized for doing half the job of what you're doing. And you're wondering and you're questioning God. God is just reminding you that His presence is just good enough. Amen. Just remain faithful. Just remain faithful. And that's all that Joseph knew. And that's all that he did, is to remain faithful, mopping the floor. Until even mopping the floor, there was a shine on that floor that was never there. Until Joseph showed up and mopped that floor. Potiphar walked around and saw the shine on this floor. Saw the sparkle and said, who did this? Well, Joseph. That little dude that you bought in the marketplace, he did this. God sets you up for promotion by what you do with your hands, by being faithful with the things that He's entrusted you with. God will place you in a situation where no one around you might be serving God. But because you're there, carrying His presence, God sets you up for promotion. That's exactly how God works. And each and every time when He's setting you up for something bigger and greater, He lights up an even stronger fire. He lights up an even stronger and stronger fire. In Genesis 39:21. In verse 20, he got thrown into jail. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife for rape. He was grabbed and thrown into prison, totally to be forgotten. All of a sudden in his life, it felt like the fire was cranked up again. I believe this is probably the lowest point of his life. Being thrown into the pit by his brothers, maybe we can look at it this way. Joseph was a brat. I mean, he would run his mouth all the time. He would brag about his dreams. And he would make those dreams known to everybody. maybe you might think that, hey, you know what, maybe he deserved that. That would have that should teach him a lesson. In fact, this is probably how it all started. Let's teach him a lesson. And then the enemy stepped in and said, let's take it a little step further. And another step further. Let's rob him of the dream, of the calling. We'll never see him again. And nobody would even remember him. But even in the pit, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God was setting him up. God was cranking up the fire even harder. But this time, he was accused of something he never did. He didn't do anything wrong. In fact, in the house of Pharaoh, when he was prospering and he was seeing himself promoted this time over everything that Potiphar had, I am sure he was saying, I'm living the dream. This is it. This is the calling. This is the plan that God had for me. That's why I got the dream, is for me to be in this house as a slave. And serving and seeing everything that I touch prosper, that's the dream. But being a servant, a slave, in the house of Potiphar was never the dream, was never the calling. His destiny was not to mop the floor. His destiny was to do something much, much bigger. That's why God cranked up the fire when he got thrown into jail. But in verse 21, we see the same pattern in his life. It's like no matter where you go, even if it is in the middle of a prison, you're still carrying the presence of God. You're still carrying his favor. Everything that you do, even if it is in a prison, is prospering because God is with you. So here we read in verse 21, he says, but the Lord was with Joseph. He could not separate himself from God. What can you do to separate yourself from God? The word says that even if you make your bed in hell, he's there with you. Even if you go in the furthest part of the world and you think that somehow God will not find you, he will be there with you. No matter where you go, he is there with you. He says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Why mercy? Because he was on the lowest point of his life. He blamed himself for everything. He was probably wondering, why did I open up my mouth to start with? Why didn't I just keep the dream to myself? I should never have said anything to my brothers and my father. None of this would have happened to me. Look at what happened to me. And before you know it, he's blaming God. He's blaming God. He's like, why, Lord? Why did you do this to me? The very first thing that God came and did is this. Showed him mercy. Mercy. Don't be down upon yourself, Joseph. It's good. I've got this. He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. See, when you walk in the presence of God, even the prison master is going to recognize you. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in prison. And whatever they did there, it was his doing. God placed him in a place where even there he will be promoted to a higher place of authority. See, authority comes in with submission. The world thinks about authority the other way around. The more you self-promote, authority comes. But authority comes with the more you go down. The more you humble yourself. The more you serve. The more you are a good steward. That's when authority comes. That's when the elevation to the next level would come. Is when you see yourself as, Lord, if it wasn't you, I would not be here. Lord, if you did not bless the work of my hand, I could never have done it. If you don't anoint me to bring in your message, there is no way I can do it. When you approach God like this, He comes in strong. He comes in with full authority. And He gives you authority that you need to accomplish the task that He set before you. You don't have to work for that authority. You receive it because you're ready for it. So it came to the point in Joseph's life right now when he was in prison, that he was promoted in from within. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Didn't have to, because the manager of the prison knew that Joseph was operating under a different kind of authority. God's authority. So did not have to come and double check his work. If Joseph sign off on this job, it's good. If Joseph sign off on this job, it's good. If Peter signs off on this job, it's good. If Doug signs off on this job, it's good. If Rick signs off on this job, it's good. God has a way of setting you up so that others recognize what God is doing with you. Because they recognize the authority that you have did not come from yourself. That authority came from God Himself. So people don't double check. They give glory to God because they see the work of God in your life. So God's fire forges the best dreams, callings, and creates the best destinies. Only God's fire can do this. Only God's fire can stage you up for something bigger that you can understand yourself. Last week I shared a little bit about my story about the cable monkey. For those who are just now hearing it for the first time, I suggest maybe you go back 1 week and you can listen to it on Podbean, and you can look at it, you listen to it also on our website. I used to be a cable monkey. A cable monkey is the guy that is small enough to fit into tight spaces, and carrying cable, sometimes audio, most of the time it was data cable for computer. I would run this. I would grab it on my shoulder with a big spool hanging down there, and I would carry it and walk, crawl, hand crawl. I mean, they were so tight of a space, you could not stand, you could not do anything. I would hand crawl and carry big spools of data cable all the way from one point to the next, and I would stay there hours. But then I got promoted from cable monkey to finance monkey. Still a monkey. And this time I was being in charge of a little bit more. I thought I was living the dream. Until God turned up the fire again. Isn't that funny that when you think that you arrived and you're living the dream, God turns up the fire again? Because he wants to see you keep pushing forward in the dream towards the destiny. Really what it is, it's a calling within a calling, a destiny within a destiny. It never stops. It's a calling for a season. And then when this is done, this calling ties in with something else. I'm glad I was a cable monkey. Because that cable monkey calling, does that even sound right? Cable monkey calling tied in with my finance monkey calling. It doesn't make sense. Because the two, they don't even connect. But only the fire of God can connect the two. The more you surrender to the fire, the more or the easier the connection becomes. Because it will require a level of submission to what God does. The more you resist the fire, the longer the process. So I suggest if you're going through a fire, Jesus. Isn't your name beautiful? Isn't your name wonderful? Amen. We sing that song. We're like, Jesus, come in. Amen. I invite you in. Show me how to handle this cable monkey business. Amen. Believe me, there was many times in my life when I was making $5.15 an hour as a cable monkey. When I looked in the natural, I was like, it doesn't make sense at all, Lord. What are you trying to do with me? I'm a married man. I'm going to college. We can't even afford regular stuff. I mean, how do we pay for college? How do we save? How do we do anything? But God said, you know, you be faithful in that $5.15 an hour. I've got something else for you. So from cable monkey to finance monkey, I was like, I was living the dream until God turned up the fire again. I worked in this place, and I just got promoted out of the blue. And then came the government, the Department of Education came in and did this campus-wide audit, a financial audit. After weeks of auditing us on site, you know, when an auditor comes in on site, it's scary. Scary business where they're getting in into everything. It's like the FBI is coming and say, show me everything. You know what I mean? I want to look in this. And then you have nowhere to run and it's all exposed. For weeks, they were there on site, digging, probing, questioning. At the end of several weeks, they fine us $12 million. $12 million. I got a letter in the mail. $12 million, and here's the payment plan. Isn't that funny when they give you a $12 million bill and say, here, how are you going to pay for it? They break it down really easy. Really easy monthly payment. But when we can't even make payroll, we're struggling to keep the staff paid. And I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, Lord, how are we going to do this? When you reach that point, when you feel like it's all God or nothing, that's where I believe the fire has been cranked up to the max. And when you feel that the burden of everything is upon you and only you. That's where the fires are the strongest. That's the way I felt as a finance monkey. And I was like, Lord, would you please just take this away from me? I'll go back and be a cable monkey. I'll do it with everything that you've given to me. I'll be happy with $5.15 an hour, even if I make that for the rest of my life, but I really don't want to shoulder this burden. I'm going to hold off. I'm not going to tell you the end of the story yet. But if I do forget, would you do this? Do me a favor. Remind me. Raise your hand. Get my attention. Throw something at me so that I'll be able to tell you the end of the story. Because it's important. It ties in with exactly where we're going with this. But I might forget. So please remind me. Because today what I really want to tell you is this. There's a purpose to the fire that you're in. You might be sitting here saying, we're talking about fire, but fire is unpleasant. Fire challenges me. What is the purpose of fire? Does that mean if I'm going through tough times? Does that mean if I'm sick, there's a fire that God is bringing upon me? I'm not talking about that kind of fire. I'm talking about a fire in an environment where you feel like the pressure is squeezing you. It's a good kind of fire where God Himself is squeezing something out of you. It's pressure on all sides. A pressure that is coming not to kill you, not to kill your dreams, but to reignite dead stuff. To bring to the surface certain things that He wants to get rid out of your life. And to bring about something great and amazing. The number one thing that God wants to do is to reveal His presence. Just like what we read in those two passages. Now this is pretty amazing to see what Joseph went through in each and every one of those seasons where the fire was stoked on high. But yet again, the presence of God was there. The favor of God was there. Everything that he touched prospered. Why? Because Jesus was there. Because God was there. That's the only reason. Fire reveals his presence. In Isaiah 43:2 says this. When you walk through the fire. See, you're going to have to do the walking. You're going to have to walk through the fire. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. That's an amazing promise. I can take that and run right now. You shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now, if I just read this verse, just this verse, I just want to celebrate. Jesus, yes, I will not be burned. Amazing. But what am I celebrating? Me. You will walk through the fire. You will not get burned. But really the key is not awesome you. It's awesome Him. His presence. It's awesome Him. Because you got to go back one verse to read this and make the connection. The connection is this. Thus says the Lord who created you. See, when you say thus, when you read this, thus says the Lord, it means God is speaking. God is telling you. God is informing you that it was not you. He's telling you it's me that is speaking. Would you tune in and listen? Thus says the Lord who created you, who formed you. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. That is the key that unlocks you walking through the fire. You going through the flames and the flame not scorching you. So the key is not you. The key is Him in you. The key is His presence in you. It's all about Jesus. The name that is all above all other names. If it is not Him, you walk through the fire, you will get burned. It's a fact. It's the truth. If you go in the fire and God did not tell you to go through the fire, you will get burned. The flames will scorch you. But because He's called you by your name, He's redeemed you, He's called you His, because of that, you can step right into a fire. That's why you can work in an environment that does not celebrate the name of Jesus. Because you are carrying His presence in. You can go and touch this, and this is prospering, and God is getting the glory for it, not because of Almighty you. It's Almighty God in you. That's how Joseph prospered. It was not because of Joseph and his amazing dream or his amazing coat that he had. It was all because of whom he served. Think about this for a moment when you step into the workplace tomorrow. That can change and shift everything in that workplace. That can shift the relationship with your boss. When you step in and you say, this place is a better place because of Jesus in me. This place is going to prosper because of Him in me. The kids, if you're a teacher, the kids are going to sense God's presence in me. Peace is going to come in my classroom. Peace is going to come in the midst of a storm because I just stepped in. And Jesus is in me. It's all about His presence. So the fire reveals His presence. It says, God has redeemed you. The enemy came from get-go to rob you of that calling. You know what God said? Back off, devil. I have redeemed this one. This one I have redeemed. I have sent my son, and he paid the redemptive price of his blood for this one. This one is mine. Back off, devil. That's the promise that we have when we step in. We're not stepping in under our own authority. We're stepping in on a much higher authority, His authority. He's saying this blood was shed for him. I have redeemed this guy. I have redeemed this one. See, the blood, that redemptive value of the blood was not just for your life. The blood was also for the dreams and the callings. It's the same stamp of approval over your life that you have also on your dreams and your calling. You cannot separate your life from the dream or the calling. They all go hand in hand. They all work together. So next time when the enemy comes in and reminds you of how much of a failure you are in accomplishing your dream, you show him the stamp of approval that you have. You remind him of whose you are. You remind him that you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Fire develops character. Character is not something that is developed overnight. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes fire to develop character. It takes fire to develop patience in you. I asked God for patience and He gave me kids. 5 of them. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. That's how you become ready for the next season. Joseph was in a fire for 13 years. Can you imagine? 13 years being in that level of fire. From a slave, being displayed as a slave, being put in a pit, sold by his brother, displayed as a slave, find himself as a bought slave in the house of an Egyptian, mopping floors, then he became the chief mopper of the floors, still a slave, wrongly accused, falsely accused, thrown in jail for 5 years, actually stayed in jail. Can you imagine being in jail for that long for something you've never done? And each time we're going through different scenarios, what did I do? What did I do? Where did I miss God? All the turmoil lasted for 13 years before he stepped in his destiny right in front of Pharaoh. David, 13 years. Moses, 40 years of going through a fire, trying to discover, what am I supposed to do, God? What was I born for? Why did you create me? Even Jesus had to go through a fire. He had to be tested in order to produce character. In Hebrews 5:8, he says this, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience. He learned to be patient. He learned obedience from the things he suffered, yet without sin, yet without blame. He submitted to every part of it. And lastly is this, fire produces, I want you to catch this, fire produces appointments. Fire produces appointments. Fire has the ability to create divine appointments for you. When God released a calling for Moses, God showed up in a fiery, burning bush. That was his appointment with God. Fire was involved. For Joseph, it was the prison. The very place of disgrace, dishonor, became the place that God used to release a divine appointment with Pharaoh's butler and the baker. So you can read the story in chapter 40. God used a dream that was laying there dormant. That was probably what he thought was dead, because he's there in prison and he's probably going to spend the rest of his life in that prison. God used that dormant gift in Joseph's life to light up a new fire. See, this gift that he had as a child, from his early childhood, to understand dreams and to give meaning and interpretation to this dream according to what the revelation of God. That was a gift that he had from childhood. And he thought while he was in prison, it was those dreams that got him in the prison to start with. He thought that those dreams would be the end of it. He was blaming God for the dreams, for the visions, for even the gift that he had. Could that be you? Could that be you today? Are you looking at your dreams that are dormant? You're looking at your dreams and you're looking for fruits. It's like you're going through the pages of your life and you're like, I'm not seeing any fruits, Lord. There's nothing to account for. I'm going through this season and there's nothing but problems and turmoils and heartaches. Where are you, God? Do you know that God can use those same pages of your life and reignite, set ablaze those dreams once again? I believe this is what's going to happen today. I believe God is going to reignite those dreams. This is what I want you to remember. In the book of Isaiah 43, it says this: thus says the Lord, who created you, who formed you. He said, fear not. When you're going through these trials, for these fires, for I have redeemed you. I have called you, it says here, by your name. It says you are mine. You are not even your own. You belong to Him. It says when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned up, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now let me tell you how my story ended as the finance monkey. A few months after the audit was done, they left, and I got a letter in the mail. You know, when you get these letters from the government, it's like these official things and you're scared to open them because you don't know what you're going to find in them. And I knew what that furnace that I was in, bracing myself for something worse. In that letter, it says this, that the entire $12 million fine was forgiven. Was forgiven. You see, God stepped into the fire before I did. I thought I was in this fire all by myself. But He stepped in there way before I did. Way before I did, He was in that fire. That's the same fire that you might be in. You might have a different story, a different season. But I know this, because I know the God that I serve. No matter what fire that you might be in, God is already there ahead of you. He says, I've called you. You are mine. I have redeemed you. I've set you apart for the calling and for the destiny which you placed in me.